Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jeffrey, who is here to speak with us about his experience in participating with this current email class, Relationships and the Enneagram. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Hi there. It's good evening.
Hey.
Good evening for me.
It's good evening for you. I was just thinking that, actually, as I was saying that. Yes. And yet, the evenings last so long these days. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, goodness. The sun's not even down yet. It's still a beautiful, beautiful sunny day for us.
Oh, so fun. So fun. Speaking of fun, we're literally just finishing the email class. We're in the process of doing the last assignment that came out just today.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're still in it.
We're still
and
in
we're
it.
Still reaping the benefits of it, and probably will
yeah.
for a long, long time.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Yeah, we're actually also finishing a retreat as we speak. Tomorrow's the last day, and we were just looking at that. Yes, the retreat ends, but in a way, it doesn't. It goes on and on.
Yes, so there are some lovely people maybe on the west porch right now hearing all of this.
Might be or maybe in the meditation hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got a whole group
of
folks here listening. Yeah. Yes. So it's been a phenomenal class, hasn't it?
I don't understand how they could just keep getting better and better.
And you feel like you're lying, don't you? You feel like, well, okay, at this point, I mean, come on.
I know. Well,
but it's true.
Have...
It's true.
Yes. Yes. And it's the whole, I was so excited to talk to you because I just came from spending time with the person who's in the relationship that was the focus of the class.
Aha. So we each got to choose a relationship to work with. And the one that you chose to work with, you just got to spend time with that person right before this call. How very kind of life to offer you that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, how wonderful to be able to have time with that person while doing the assignment. I mean, it's just the perfect setup.
Yeah.
And then to be able to talk to you after, it's like the best gift a person could have.
You know, and as you say that, Jeffrey, what I saw was, I think it's a part of the reason why email classes are so powerful is that we're in the day-to-dayness of our lives, and there's awareness practice happening. And so what we begin to see is, those aren't two different things.
Mm-hmm.
That, especially in something like an email class that's on the topic of relationships, that we begin to see that, wow, everything in my life can be within the context through the lens of practice.
Oh, of course. Well, and the reason I signed up for the class was because I heard a voice say, this person, right, this kind of thing is really problematic. You can't practice with it. Right.
So perfect.
That's the first clue to go for it, to do it.
Right. So the voice tells you, "Oh no, I mean this is essentially, you know, outside of practice. This isn't gonna." And that's your cue to, perfect. There's the next thing I want to look at in practice.
Yeah, it's amazing that there are those really real things. And this person being wrong, problematic, annoying, upsetting, frustrating, all of that is really real.
Uh-huh.
And of course, come to find out, no, it's not. Of course not. And
it's
actually I just wanted to add really briefly, actually what's annoying, upsetting, and frustrating is ego, conditioning.
Wow. That's a pause and underline at moment, isn't it?
And I just got to prove it by spending time with this person, and it was perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Because of the tools we had worked on, because of the stuff we had built.
Wow.
And because of the purpose, you know?
Yeah, oh, I do know. I know exactly. And it is so incredibly relevant for what we're looking at in the retreat and relevant for all of our lives. Again, for that very reason, that it seems so real that it's these things in my life that are difficult. It's these things that are causing suffering for me. You know, it's this relationship that I don't like. It's this person who's annoying. It's that I don't have enough money. It's that my kids are this way or my husband's that way or whatever it is. And then, in particular, through the lens of this email class, you were able to go up against one of those really real ones for you in your life and begin to see, wow, that's not where the suffering is coming from. Suffering is coming from the voices.
Yep. Yeah. And that's another thing so valuable about, well, all really going on retreat or doing reflective listening buddies or whatever it is, you get to see that basically everyone is going through the same steps you're going through.
Yeah, truly.
So you're reading those responses and you're like, oh, it's really real for them too.
Right.
And that's just part of the way that ego works for everybody, and it's so less personal then.
Yeah, it's so less personal. It's much easier not to believe it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and amazing.
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say amazing to be, you know, because I've been doing practice for years and I'm one of the old timers, as we say. But still, it's the same lesson. It's the same exciting journey that someone that I project anyway from the responses in the class, which we get to read, other people's, you know, contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And shared responses, you know, judging from those, we are all going through those same steps, and it's so profoundly connecting.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. And that it with that, so in the responses we hear that everyone is just like we are, going through all the same stuff. And then we get to hear how they're practicing with it. And for me, that's just so helpful because there's that place of, oh, wow, I never would have made that particular connection, or I never would have seen to practice with it in that way, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and that's what's really fun about something like the Enneagram, too, because you might start to think that your number is, gosh, who you really are, or, you know, insurmountable, like, karmic thing that you have to deal with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing other brave souls go up against it and see through it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, maybe my deal is something that I can face
right.
as well.
Right.
You know? Seeing the bravery in other people.
Yeah, so the Enneagram being a personality typing system sort of in a sense comes from, I think, a number of wisdom traditions that are types, and that it's the way we use it in practice, exactly as you're saying, is not to kind of find out who I am and good, that's the way I'm not that way, but rather to shed some light on, okay, well, that makes sense that I would, you know, the work would be able to get me with those particular places, or that there would be an orientation often to things in my life this way. And what's so fun about it, I just pictured as you were saying that, Jeffrey, like, if there'd be some way to hide the Enneatype in people, you know, which type they are in the response, and then to, you know, because in
click a button and reveal
people, Yeah, the people who write in, who share the same Enneatype as I do, I can spot it a mile away. You know, and it just has that same quality to it that you were saying a minute ago, which is that, oh, well, it's clearly not personal then, right? It isn't just who I am and the way I always will be. It's completely impersonal. You know, we all share that same thing, and we all share the courage and ability to see through it and make a different choice.
Yeah. It's I'm so excited by this conversation, but it's time to go, isn't it?
Pretty soon, but finish your thought.
just a huge blessing. I could imagine not having the technology, feeling like this is something that I would need to do on my own or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's being able to connect in all the ways we are currently connecting is amazing. I mean, I can't phrase it another way. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it truly is. And that reminds me, just for folks who may not have done an email class and might want to hop on board the next time, that the format of it is that Sherry sends out, or there's an assignment is sent out a week, and that we all get to look at it. So an assignment went out this morning, and so everyone who's in the class is looking at that assignment, sitting with it, seeing what they see about it. And aren't the classes themselves so beautiful? My gosh. Just, you know.
They're works of literature, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, works of literature. Well put. And then write in a response, and then every single response is read and responded to by Sherry, and then we all get to read all of those responses, and it's completely anonymous. So we have that experience, as you were saying, of, wow, we're all so much the same to really benefit from each other's practice in that way. So you're right. The way that practice is utilizing technology is really quite exquisite to support all of us.
And I think I'm just saying it's such an important thing. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing. The guide responds to every single person who is willing to participate.
Yes.
You know, practice meets each of us when we are willing to step forward and say, me, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a great
amazing.
Point. Such a great point. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, Jeffrey. We are up against the hour.
Yes.
So sorry about that. That went quick.
Yeah, wonderful. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Thanks for being with us this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have a
Thanks,
beautiful
Jeffrey.
Show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jeffrey. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Having a nice time. A lot of it being Jan and Jeffrey were just talking about. Because,
yes.
As you know, we're doing an email class.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Fun.
And you're doing a lot of typing in response, I'm sure.
Yes, I am. And I really appreciated what Jeffrey said about practice, because it's my experience of practice, always has been, and I know other people's experience of practice who do practice, that practice is always there for us when we are ready to engage. And so having the opportunity to be in this kind of, it's funny, it's a very intimate contact with people, even though somebody sends in an email and then I send an email back to them, one would think that wasn't so terribly intimate, but it really is. And so to get to be in that kind of practice relationship with people is a wonderful thing. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's fun. It's exciting. And, it's one of my favorite parts of practice. And this is an email class, right? But that's my experience always with practice, whether it's the retreat or, as Jeffrey said, you know, reflective listening buddies or virtual meditation. It's whatever... we're doing together as practice, there is that wonderful feeling of intimacy and connection and belonging and all that good stuff. It's good.
Yes, exactly. And I especially appreciated what you said about it being there when we need it, because we all need it. And so, you know, there's huge gratitude from me, you know, for you and the monks who are, and all the people who offer practice, you know, to continue showing up and doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in this particular case, as people indicated, Ashwini for writing those classes. That's one of to me, the best parts of modern email classes. You know, back in those days, it was up to me to write the classes as well as to respond to folks and that sort of thing. And, of course, June has always done all the editing and the posting everything and, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it really is a team effort. And
yes.
Yeah, and it's good. It's, again, it's very Sangha, right? It's whatever, wherever we look in practice, we see a group of people making practice happen, making it available for us so that we can all come together and have the experience that we have of waking up and ending suffering, which is the whole point. Yeah?
Yes, 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 exactly. And what's come up a couple times as you're talking is, you know, when I started out in practice, it was more of a consuming the practice offerings for my own benefit. And then, as you say, over time, the perspective broadens because we've received so much, and so the gratitude wants to give, and we want to, you know, offer it and maintain it and support it and
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it's that it's thing that we talk about with some regularity, but it's really kind of, you know, you just go, yeah, whatever, until you have the experience itself. But as you say, in the beginning, it's all about me and what I'm going to get out of this. Is this, and of course, especially now, so I'm of the old school, you know, to walking to school barefoot in the snow uphill both ways. And now, because back in those days, I mean, there were no books on this subject. Right?
Yeah.
I can remember when I got my hands on the first book that talked about Zen meditation. And now, my God, I mean, there's just everything that anybody could ever pursue, right? And so, we, you know, it's true. It's a consumer mentality because it's about, and I was as much that way. There weren't all of the options, but I was absolutely in it for me. Because I gotta stop suffering was my motivation, and so just going at it from that perspective of what's in it for me, and then we get to the point, as you say, where that's not fulfilling any longer because I've already gotten so much for me, and amazingly, miraculously, what happens then is it becomes more fun, more exciting, more fulfilling to offer it to other people than to have it for ourselves because we realize the only way we can have it for ourselves is to be assisting in making it available to others. It is just a good deal from beginning to end.
Yes. Yes, it reminds me of Jen talking about it too, is that the faster our gratitude wants to give it away, we can't keep up with the receiving that keeps coming in. So it's just fabulous.
Yeah.
That's very good news.
Yeah.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
A few slots have opened up in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. June 30th through July 7th in North Carolina. This foundational retreat offers an opportunity to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate.
Mm-hmm. I heard that there were some cancellations, so if somebody's thinking that sounds good, be good to hop on it.
Yes, yes. And to continue the profound work of dropping self-hate and finding freedom and having a great deal of fun while you're at it, You don't want to miss the What You Practice is What You Have retreat, July 15th through 22nd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this unique retreat with Sherry and Ashwini requires a deep grounding in Zen awareness practice.
Yep.
Yes. And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show. And a focus on one topic in about 5 minutes is super helpful. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
Sure thing. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hi.
Hello, Virginia.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Excellent.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
I
can't
believe it. What's going on?
Well, I can't believe I got on the call tonight. I was waiting for a while. I mean, not tonight, but other nights. And so I'm really happy to be on the call. And actually, I was really excited, too. So it kind of coincides with my excitement to be
good
talking with you. Yeah. So I wanted to let you know that I've been practicing, and I've been doing the email class and a lot of the practice opportunities that we have. And actually today, like three of those practice opportunities coincided, like email class, reflective listening buddies, and the stop, drop, and text. And
good grief.
Yeah, I know. Isn't
that exciting? You don't think we're overdoing it, do you? Wow.
I know. No, I don't think so. And anyhow, something happened, and I just want to tell you about it, Sherry, that it dropped in this afternoon as I was on the Reflective Listening Buddies call. Some things had happened when I was doing the other things that I just mentioned, and some insights were dropping in, and then I don't even know how this happened, but when I was on the call, it became clear to me, this thing dropped in that egocentric karma conditioning is telling me. It's a major life story for me, which is I need to stay focused so I can get things done so I won't get overwhelmed. Yes. And that all kind of equals something's wrong. And on the other end of that that story is that there's a constant vigilance or monitoring, there's a something monitoring me all day long, trying to keep me focused. So it's kind of under the guise of helping me. It's going to help me stay focused so I can get things done and I won't get overwhelmed, and then I guess I'll be okay. Anyway.
As if being watched constantly and told that you have to be watched so that you don't get overwhelmed wouldn't be overwhelming.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. It's a really good point because as that process plays out, then it creates a lot of feelings that are interpreted as anxiety and,
ooh,
of course, yeah, and that's kind of scrutiny too. It's a judgment. I mean, it's a constant judging of everything and a double second guessing, and was this the thing, or are you staying focused? And I have looked at that I actually have believed it for so long. So what dropped in this afternoon was that all that isn't true.
Yeah. Just right there, right? Not well, maybe some of that isn't true. Just it dropped in that all of it is untrue.
Yeah, I could see that it was an ego story that was perpetuating itself. It's how I stay in the conversation. It's one of the big ways that I stay in the conversation. And just to let you know how big it is, and even coaches have told me before that they have questioned that thing about you can't stay focused. Well, it seems like you are actually, and you know, I don't know, people have questioned it on and off, but I know, no, I was believing that. You know, it was so convincing, and I was so in that conversation. And then, just to add the topping here, is this afternoon, just as I was waiting for the call, it dropped in that, you see, there's another story that I don't keep my commitments. Virginia doesn't keep her commitments. And it just dropped in that kind of is that same kind of story.
Son of a gun, you mean that's not true either?
Yeah, that's where I'm going with that. I'm sure that's not true either. But it's so fascinating, Sherry, because I can see how that those stories are so meant to keep at least this conditioned human being down.
Oh yeah. Because so with the first one, I was looking when you were describing it, I thought. So the assumption, which is unexamined, of course, because they have to be, as soon as we examine them, as you're doing now, we see through them, that you will be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So once that's put in place, then everything that needs to be done to keep you from being overwhelmed, well, I mean, that's just intelligent, right? That's just sensible. Well, of course you have to do that. Of course she has to be watched. Of course she has to be kept on task. Of course she has to get all these, because otherwise she's going to become overwhelmed. We can't have that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah. So there, somebody's going to watch you around the clock day after day after day because you might at some point get overwhelmed.
Right.
Right. But the implication is, oh, no, you'll get overwhelmed. And then you'll just stay overwhelmed, and you'll die of overwhelm. And that'll
right.
be the end of it. So we're saving
right.
our life.
Yeah, we're saving our life. Yeah, and, you know, as you were speaking, too, what dropped in, Sherry, was that, you know, this thing, you can't stay focused, but guess what? In that process, I am focused on that conversation totally.
Yep. Don't you love it?
I do. I love it. I mean, I love it because I just can't tell you how the machinations, the robotic movements in that I've been like a puppet playing out this, you know, storyline of what I just mentioned. And yeah, I do love it. I'm just a little bit in awe and shock right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And delight.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the energy that gets freed up when we see through something like that.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I could light up my own city here with all the energy that has been going into maintaining that lie.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's all the life force.
Yeah, that's exactly true. That is so true, Sherry. And, wow, this is really exciting. And this makes me eager to see, too, what are some of these other core beliefs that I, you know, go around acting like, you know, that I believe that I'm caught in the conversation around.
You know, Virginia, one of the things that strikes me about that for you, for me, for everybody who wants to play. So what you described is that people told you this.
Yeah, they did.
Right? But when we're stuck in a story, we're so stuck in believing that story that even if somebody says, you know, you're stuck in a story, you know that, right? And we just go, no, I'm not. Now, it may not be that conscious, but that's the process that's happening, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Somehow we manage to hear the words. We can even hear the words repeatedly from different sources,
right,
and manage not to take it in. It just,
yeah.
It's that Teflon coating,
yeah.
Right? So it runs into conditioning and just falls to the ground at our feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so interesting. I'm so glad you're bringing this up because you're right. It feels like a Teflon coating, like this doesn't apply to me. It's like I hear what you're saying,
right. But
there's a wall up. It just doesn't apply to me.
Yes. So if we can catch on to that process, how we go, No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not true. That's not my experience. That would be a great big opening into more of these insights.
Wow.
Because if you were to say to me, well, you know, Sherry, you always say blah, 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 blah. Okay? And I think where that's coming from is ha, 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 ha. And, of course, you're right on target, which is the reason that I say, I don't think so, Virginia. I really don't think that's it. But now I'm going to say, really? You think so? Okay. I'm going to find out. I'm not having the experience now, but I'm going to watch for it because I'll bet you're onto something. Because the thing we know as smart, savvy people is that other people can see us way more clearly than we can see ourselves.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that. You know, Sherry, that's great. I'm going to listen to this over and over. And as you were speaking, too, yeah, other people can see me. So what happened this morning was I got a response from my Stop, Drop, and Text facilitator, and there was a huge thing that happened with ego in my mind, and it wasn't clear. It was like I was believing it, and it had to do with feeling overwhelmed, and the whole thing got kind of played out, and I didn't respond right away, and then after a while, just what you're saying occurred to me that maybe I could check it out. And then later this afternoon is when it kind of dropped in. It's like I let go of that story in that moment in order to be able to check out the thing that the facilitator was suggesting. And then this afternoon, the insight came up. But what you're saying, and what I kind of saw in that process was the facilitator somehow saw the conditioning or grokked the conditioning.
Yes.
And that's
that you couldn't see, that you actually couldn't see as you were inside it, right?
Right.
So the person says, "Well, Virginia, you keep your commitments."
Right.
And conditioning goes, "Oh no, that's not." Now you'll say, "What do you mean?" Wait, do you have proof of that? Because I listen to a story that says I don't. So do you have some proof that I can use to refute this conversation in my head? That would be really, really helpful. And what occurred to me in this conversation is that what has happened with you and what's a requirement for all of us to do what you're doing is that you have practiced to the point that you trust practice more than you trust the voice in your head. And that is huge.
Wow. I get what you're saying, Sherry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another one. Thank you. I'm going to let that in, and I believe that's another one that there could be a wall or a Teflon against. So,
yeah. Because what you know at this point is your facilitator, your coach, you know, whoever is in that role is really on your side.
Right.
And if they tell you something, you can at least trust it enough to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. You're right. It's like 60%. Like I'm at 60% or whatever, I'm over 50% sure that
I bet you're way over 60 too.
Yeah. Yeah, very likely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
A fun day, huh? Mark this on your calendar. Have a little party, buy some flowers, you know, do something extraordinary. Big day, big day.
Yeah, big day, big day. Thank you. I will do that. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Virginia.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good
night. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Virginia. That was an exciting way to start the show today, Sherry.
That's some fun stuff, isn't it?
Yes, and I loved what you said about getting to the point where we trust practice more than we trust those voices. That's great.
Yeah.
Getting out of our head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those voices say mean things to us, and it's really rare when we find somebody in practice that we can even manage to believe the voices when they say they're saying mean things.
Say that again.
The voices will try to convince. Well, the voices will try to convince us that that person, that coach, that facilitator, that whomever is just being mean to you.
Yes.
But, you know, with just a tiny bit of looking, we realize, I don't think so. Because, you know, it's what my teacher used to say. He would say a lot of fun things, but one of them was, you notice I never invited you to come here. And what that really helped, you know, I'm going to beg to get in, for God's sake. And what that helped me see is he didn't have any motivation. To he wasn't getting anything out of this. I came there because I wanted to end suffering, and I thought he could help me do that. And he agreed to help me do that. There.
Yeah.
That's the sum total of it. Then to believe a voice that's going to try to convince me that he has some reason to be mean to me, really? But, I mean, how crazy would that be? And it turns out he didn't actually have any reason to be mean to me. And in fact, he never was mean to me. So there is that.
Yes. Yes. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And, Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brad. I'm calling from Annapolis, Maryland.
Well, hello, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I'm surprised I got on, but here we are. So
here we are. What's going on?
I wanted to talk to you about something I discovered about 2 years ago with resuming practice, doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And I'm going over it right now with my coach. And one of the issues that I struggle with in my life is perfection. And I notice at the core of my ego and conditioning, it's always a matter of everything in my life needing to be perfect. That is the belief.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if I keep up with my commitments for a bit and then I fall off, then conditioning says to me, well, if you were perfect, you would have what you want, you'd have the results you want to have in your life, and everything would be taken care of. You remember when you were perfect previously, and if you could only be perfect in the future, things would be supposedly the way they need to be, whatever that means.
So, Brad, there was a time when you were perfect?
Well, there was a time where maybe certain things in life went different ways. And that's the thing, though. I mean, that's what I'm hearing now, but my life is pretty good. I don't really have any major complaints, but that's the conversation that goes on.
Yeah.
And the issue with it now, though, is just dealing with these commitments. It goes, look at that last month. You didn't manage to do anything. If you can't do it, don't do it. And that's another thing. It's like, well, that's not real inspiring to keep me moving forward. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do you see as the primary difference between your coach and that voice in your head?
Well, I would, although we don't assume in Zen, I would assume that it's my coach is looking out for my best interest. And ego is looking out for a way to maintain itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you have a pretty good sense that it is maintaining itself at the center of your life through this you pointing the finger conversation?
Oh, yeah. You know, and here's what I had this insight drop in. I record and listen about 3 times a day. And in my midday session as I'm walking around D.C., it came to me that what's most important, what the practice needs to be, is just coming back to here. That's all this practice is being here for life. and in doing the commitments. There's nothing to achieve. There's nothing to do. It's a matter of being here.
Yes.
And dropping that conversation. So that's what came to me. I put it on the recorder, and still working with it. I'm still trying to hammer it in there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in my experience, you never will. That the only relationship that is going to be successful for us to have with that conversation is to drop it.
Right.
Just ignore it.
Well, I was referring to the positive things the mentors was telling me. That's what I was trying to get into the system was to have.
But
that
you don't need to do that. You don't actually need to do that either. Because as you say, you just need to come back here. That's it. You don't need to come back here and then look to conditioned mind to see if you're meeting some standard. You just need to be here.
Yeah. And that's the one that always gets me with this practice. Ego wants to tell me that by doing these commitments, that there'll be an award, there'll be something magical that happens down the road, that it will mean something.
Well, here's the thing. Are you aware that the voice is not simultaneously, but really rapid-fire sequentially, talking you into doing the commitments, keeping the commitments, and talking you out of keeping the commitments? Are you aware that that it's the same voice that talks you out of keeping them?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and here's another thing that occurred to me with that is it said that the side to you, the conditioning that's projecting into the future over how things will be better is not the same side of you that's here in presence that's supporting you when you need it.
Yes, I think I track that.
Well, what I'm saying is, in other words, from the mentor's perspective, the one who actually helps you in the moment is the mentor, whereas this projection of how things will be perfect in the future is nothing more than conditioning pulling me out of the present moment.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what people fall for is a belief that that voice has their best interest in mind. It doesn't.
Right.
So the only reason it talks to you about perfection is because you'll buy it.
Yeah.
Now, see, it can't talk to me about perfection because I don't care. That's not a buzzword for me. It's not an issue for me. I think the whole idea is silly. It's a dualistic nonsense piece that people are tortured with, right? So for me, it's just clear and obvious. Everything is perfect or nothing is perfect. Well, you can't have it both ways, right? But in the world, in the dualistic world of ego, that's a great torture plan. You could be perfect. You're not. It should have been. It wasn't. If it is that, you know, all of this conditional dualistic nonsense, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't talk to me about that. Yeah? So for us to realize that what the voices want to talk to us about, they talk to us about because we will get hooked by it. Not
right.
because
we'll buy,
they care.
Not the content. Yeah.
That's right. Those voices don't give a flying fig about the content of anything. It is, as you've noticed, only a means to staying at the center of your attention. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, perfect. You know, if you, when you get to the point, and you will, when you get to the point where you keep your commitments, you will keep your commitments simply because you want to, because you enjoy it, because you like it. And when you don't keep a commitment, it will be because something happened that kept you from it. There will be no issue about you're a good person if you do and you're a bad person if you don't, because that's just egocentric silliness. That's just karma-reinforcing nonsense, right? And so you will be different when you're keeping your commitments, but not because you're keeping your commitments. You'll be different because you're a person who is no longer being tortured by those dualistic nonsense voices in your head.
Yes. Well, it's a practice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm there and sometimes I'm not. But
that's right.
I will continue
which is
to practice.
Which is true for all of us.
Yes.
It is true for all of us. So let's call that perfect practice. We're doing the best we can all the time. There. We just reached perfection.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Isn't that good?
And,
I love it.
I look forward to seeing you hopefully here in Pennsylvania in a few months. So.
Oh, I'm hoping that that happens too. Yes.
Awesome. All right.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. Thanks,
Thanks,
Brad.
Thanks so much, Sherry. Uh-huh. Take care.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And Sherry, we are going to take a break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Excellent.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please yourself?
Glenn,
hey, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes, although it kind of sounds like you're in some sort of a sound tunnel.
Oh, no, I'm calling from my the app on the iPhone. Hopefully it gets a little better.
There you are. Lovely.
Okay, does it sound okay?
Yes, who's this?
Oh, hey, Sherry, my name is Justin. It's great to talk to you again. It's been a long time since we've chatted.
I recognize your voice. Are you up there in Canada?
That's right, here in Toronto.
Okay, I gotcha.
I just wanted to check in. I just wanted to speak to you and kind of feel connected. It's been a little while, so that's good. And I guess I just wanted to relay kind of my experience recently. I guess at work, things haven't been going that great. And the one thing that I've noticed, and I fall into it all the time, is this conundrum where I'm in like a place where I have to, but I must, like I've got to do something, but I can't. I don't know if that makes sense. I can't, but I must. And that really gets me. And it gets me every single time where, I have to keep going, but I can't, you know, and the voices will just keep, and they just keep hammering me, and I always fall into it. And so, you know, I've just come out of a funk, recording and listening kind of pulled me on the way out, got me out, but just wanted to let you know kind of, things that I've been seeing.
Uh-huh. So when you're in that, the voices are saying you can't, but you must. You can't, but you must.
Yes.
And you are. It sounds like
yes.
You are. Uh-huh.
And
so the whole thing
the
is just the torture.
Yes. Yes.
Is that what's going on?
Yes. And the weird and my recording and listening that's really helped. I mean, for me it's like so simple. I've got a recording where I just I just say three things. I just say, life lives you, life lives through you.
Whoops. Are you there?
Justin?
Okay, well, maybe shall we move on? And you got him?
Yes. He just disappeared. So I think
okay, you'll watch for him?
I will watch for him.
Great. Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Beth from Denver.
Well, hello, Beth. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing well. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I had been doing, like, out of the ballpark great, you know, a lot of recording and listening and a lot of, you know, practice and just, you know, everything with the email class in those first couple weeks was just hitting home, and everything was just wonderful. And then this morning, I woke up.
And then this morning.
And then,
oh, dear. What happened this morning?
Well, nothing. It was just kind of like, it was almost like a throwback to how I used to wake up, which was into, it may have been sensations. I'm not sure I've really process mapped it or really figured it out or looked at it. No, I'm not going to say figured it out.
I know you weren't going to figure it out. I knew that.
Yeah, okay. But it's this place of just waking up and just being, you know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that.
And so I knew that my recording and listening practice had slid off over the last week or two, and certainly over this past weekend. And so I just made a commitment to myself to say, okay, today, you know, part of being with Beth and taking care of the human is we're going to record and listen. So I got a chance to do the seventh Enneagram class and making the three recordings, and it was just so brilliant.
Oh, good, brought you back.
Brought me back. You know, big insight dropped in. And it was like it cleared everything up. And the beauty was that it's not like I'm back in that kind of euphoria stage, but it's a much more centered place of like, oh, right, I'm still feeling really physically tired and exhausted, but it's not dictating who, you know, my experience. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes such sense. For everybody who's ever looked at it that way. So let me just see if I can recap. So you're going along and you're in kind of a high energy place, and then time goes on and you get a little farther away from yourself. The practices flip a little bit and you get a little distance from yourself, and then you wake up one morning and it's oof. Okay? And there's the story's right there, isn't it? Ready to start. What it means, and what it means. What it means and what to do and how you should feel about it and all that. Was that true?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm improvising. Yeah, okay, good, because yeah. I've had that experience. You might be able to tell. Yeah. And then if you're not careful, it'll slide. You'll just slide right into a very old way of being.
Exactly.
Because it's all right there in place, right? It's ready to just take you right to another time and place when that was your life experience.
Exactly.
But instead, you chose practice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I want to approach something that's been kind of nagging at me with that in mind. So the email class has just been so brilliant in looking at the challenging relationship and really, you know, just getting it, you know, how it's been founded on ego for so long. And really being able to step away from that. So now I have no stories. There's no duality. There's no nothing. It's just being in it and just and having a great time and just having a great time. So conditioning has started to look for other ways to reassert itself. And like it finally caught on, like, okay, she's not listening to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have this thing come up where I'm just finding places where people are, you know, we're like agreeing to do things or I'm agreeing to do things with family or I'm agreeing to do things with friends or, you know, I'm teaching classes and people are dropping out and dropping away and canceling and all of this. And I'm finding that there is a part that really wants to jump in and start making something wrong about it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. And do you recognize that? If we could say a part, but perhaps you recognize that orientation in this previously challenging relationship that you just saw through the challenge of?
Well, that's why this is so funny and confusing to me, is that I could see it and how ego worked, you know, in this challenging relationship. But now in this kind of where it's not so intimate, it's not so prevalent, you know, it's not in my face every single day. It's, you know, it's people that I see once in a while, or it's family that I see once in a while, or it's, you know, students that I don't even know are out there, but I'm really upset that they didn't sign up for my class.
Yeah, yeah. And so what is the confusion?
Or how this is catching me. It's how this is, I guess, you know, the good news is that I'm seeing that it is ego that's making it an issue about people canceling or people dropping away or people, you know, wanting to reschedule or wanting to shift, you know, just aren't interested at all.
That's right.
But I find that I'm a little caught on it, and maybe I just thought I'd...
Well, it's really quite perfect. It's excellent to have the opportunity to see this. So here's the challenging relationship, and then you see through how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has been keeping that difficulty in front of you so that there's always something for it to be worrying, right? Dog with a bone kind of image, right? It's over there chewing on it all the time. Well, this and this, and what about that? What is it here? And that, right. And there's always enough content that there's something to get going, right? Now you've seen through it. Okay, you've done all this work. You've seen through through that nonsense, and that's not there. What ego is not. This is not just you. This is all of us. Okay, ego only appears to exist when it's getting your attention. It can't just say, well, okay, I guess that's over. All right. Right? No more meals for me. No. And so what it's going to do, we were just talking about this with Brad, right? It's over there with the perfect, 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 got to be perfect. If it were perfect, if only it were perfect, perfect, right? Because that's the thing that he'll buy into and give attention over, right? For you, it's this relationship. Right? And so as long as it, the subject is that relationship, you're going to give attention to it, right? And so there's ego, just fat and happy at the center of the universe, right? Just getting all the attention all the time. Me, 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 me. Oh, my God, it's happy. And then you're not giving it that attention. So it's just going to go to the very next thing that will enable it to get back as the me at the center of the universe. Well, these people, and they're this, and they're that, and they didn't, and what about? Okay? So if we watch from that perspective, that the content of everything in our lives is truly irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The only thing that matters is the process. From ego's perspective, the only thing that counts is get me some attention now.
Yeah.
For authenticity, okay. For authenticity, for presence, for that which animates the, you know, wisdom, love, and compassion that is the authentic human being, there is just a wish to be present.
Yeah, yeah. I can feel that. I mean, I can feel that resonate as you're saying it. And I guess what drops in is all the practice with the intimate, challenging relationship, that same process being brought to different content, if you will, in a sense of, oh, right, here it is at play again. It's just that I'm getting hooked
that's
by the content, but I can actually still practice the same process.
That's exactly right. Because in the relationship, he's doing it wrong. She's doing it wrong. Okay, the difficult person that we're focused on now, my boss. Okay, if it weren't for my boss, I would be a happy human being. It's a great job. I have great friends. I live in a great place. I have plenty of money. I have good health. But it's my boss. Okay,
yeah.
Then the boss gets fired.
Right.
Big hole. Now, what doesn't happen is the ego says, oh, thank God. Now, everything else in your life works. Well, happy ever after. No, that's not going to happen. It's just going to spin to the next problem. And so what we're learning in practice, what we're learning as the way we are with whatever that system is doing, whatever that conversation is that it's trying to run to get to be the center of the universe, we're learning simply to see it and turn our attention away from it.
Yeah, so what I just saw when you said that was an old story that I used to have in my intimate challenge relationship, which was ego telling me that if I was a different, better, right person, the relationship would be good, or the relationship would succeed, or what, you know, whatever it told me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that is the exact same thing that I just saw here. If I was the right person,
if you were the right teacher,
people wouldn't cancel on me. People wouldn't, you know,
people
actually wouldn't have their lives to live. They would actually live the life ego thinks they should live for me.
That's right. They would make you the center of their universe.
Yes.
So then you would be the center of your universe, and we're speaking for ego here, right?
Right.
Ego would be the center of your universe, and ego would be the center of everybody else's universe.
Oh,
that's how
good.
It should be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
According to ego. That.
According to ego.
That just cleared it up. That was brilliant.
Because what we get to do instead is just say, you know, one of our favorites, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, the canceling, okay, well, let's see what happens then. Isn't that interesting? Well, if you were the right teacher, if you were whatever, this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, it is happening to me, so I think I'm just going to pay really close attention here and see what's going on, because I'm sure it's for me. I'm sure there's something for me to see and learn in this. I'm sure this is all on my path to freedom.
all on my route to ending suffering, so I think I'm just going to pay really close attention and get out of this conversation.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's super helpful.
Good.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, I'm so glad I initially called in and put my name in the queue because I was so tired that I thought I might fall asleep listening, and then I thought, well, if I'm on cue to talk, then I'll be awake and I'll pay attention, and it worked, and I got on.
That's right. You'll have that nervous energy going, and that'll keep you awake.
Exactly.
So that's a good technique.
Yeah,
it works.
All
right.
Well, thank you,
Beth.
Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we have Justin back on the line here. We have about 5 minutes to the top of the hour.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Michael. Hey,
sure.
Justin.
Oh, I think we got him. Okay, Justin.
Perfect.
You are now live.
Can you hear me,
are you
Sherry?
There?
Can
yes.
you hear me, Sherry?
There you are.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. Okay, we got two of them. Life is living me.
Yes. Oh,
well,
yes. So
what?
life lives through me.
Life lives through me.
What is the other one? And I'm perfect. I'm a child of the universe. And what's the third one? There are no mistakes. And, you know, just those three things. Yeah. And those are the three that really address, you know, just like you were speaking to the last caller where, you know, you fall into, you know, conditioning will get you because you listen. And then I guess these are the three things that kind of just resonate and kind of bust that logjam that conditioning creates. So, yeah, those for me are the ones
they refute ego's case, right?
Because
it wants to make, this is a mistake, there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you, you're probably the wrong person, these circumstances aren't right, and you put those three into the front of conscious awareness, and you know that what those voices are saying is a lie.
Yes. And that's why the first one, Life Lives Me, that's the one that really resonates with me, as opposed to making life, you know, to kind of try and control the outcomes, to let go. And that's because that one's the hard one for me, you know, just because there's, you know, for me, conditioning can really get me in that, you know, life, I need to create it. I need to navigate. And, you know, if things aren't working out, it's, you know, because I'm not trying hard enough, working hard enough, or I'm not the right person.
Yes. And it's not like you made that up, right? I mean, we have a ton of information that says the right person controls his, her destiny. If you're the right person, you can bend life to your will. And, of course, when we step back from it, that is just one of the silliest of all possible notions. I mean, it's ludicrous. You know? It's like it's kind of the ultimate of, what do they call that, like child thinking. Magical thinking that children have, you know, I make my parents do things. You know, my parents got a divorce because of me, or one of my parents died because of me. I'm the center of the universe. I'm infinitely powerful. I make everything happen. But when we step back a little and look at it, it is just obvious that nobody has any control.
Exactly. And one of the things that really, I mean, something that I bought in very early on was, you know, whenever I had a mentor or somebody I looked up to, and you know, they'd say, and this is the goofiest thing, because I'd buy it, it would be like, you know, I can do it so everyone else can do it. You know, it's simple for me, and, you know, I'm, you know, just a regular dude, and I can make it happen. You know, Justin, you know, if I can do it, you can do it, which is kind of goofy because, you know, you try and live your life trying to emulate someone else, and no, it's not really true that just because they can do it, you can do it.
That's right. And it's not even true that they can do it. All that's true is that it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is, people so easily confuse those two things. Because this is happening in my life, it's happening because I'm doing it. But if we get it that the ego is coming in right after the moment unfolds, right? So again, like a little kid, so here life unfolds and ego says, "I did that." Okay, there is a moment of brilliance, and ego says, "I thought of that." Well, no, actually, I didn't think of that. It happened very near me, and I saw it, and I reported what I saw. But that's not the same as I created it. Yeah? And, of course, the proof of that, you know, I'm a genius, right? I'm a genius. And then somebody says, okay, genius, do something genius. You know, and I just stand there because I don't have that ability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so good to hear it and, you know, remind, you know, my authentic self of, you know, kind of these first principles. And because, I can't hear it enough, you know, in terms of, you know, I keep forgetting. And but no, it's good too.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's easy for us to forget because that voice in our head so perfectly parrots, mimics what we see and hear all around us. That those beliefs are so pervasive, and we fall into it. And if we're not paying really close attention, then we step into the trap, and it has its way with us until something causes us to remember. And we wake up enough to realize, whoa, I need to get out of that conversation and drop that and get back here, take a few deep breaths. Okay, here we are. What is really true? Life is living this form as it lives all forms. And it will live this form for as long as it lives this form. And when it no longer does, this form won't be lived. Okay, good. Let's relax. Let's relax and just be grateful to be here and to have this life and be open to whatever life is asking us to do.
Exactly, letting life lead. No, this is so good.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. I mean, and I'm so happy that I, like the last caller, you know, punched Star 6. I'm really feel inspired again.
Good. Well, I'm glad too, Justin. It's great to hear your voice. Glad to know you're out there and that you're doing well.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Okay.
And Sherry.
Okay, it's finished. No, I can't. Do you find
it? Come on, computer. Okay, there we go.
It's giving you trouble, isn't it?
Yeah, they rolled out a new version of the software today, and a little tricky. Yes. And now it's
well, we made it.
Thank you. We did make it, and it was great, and I'm grateful.
It was great. Me too. Let's do it again. They can throw us curves all they want. We're just going to keep showing up and having a good time. Hey.
Yes, we will. All right.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Good night.